Again, it's wonderful to see everybody out this evening. Always encouraging that we had this opportunity to gather together to study. Everybody had a good afternoon. It's wonderful to be able to come out and to worship as we had the opportunity. Tonight's lesson is, I call my lesson. All the verses that I intend to mainly focus on have the let us in the Bible verses. So it's the lesson. Say it enough, just have let us. But, anyways, it is many points throughout the Word of God in which it brings out of what we should be doing. As you think of the term there, let us, and then what comes after it is telling us to do something. Let us do this, let us do that. And as we continue to go forward in the kingdom of God, there are many things, and just a few things we're going to be talking about this evening, but many things in which we need to be doing as we continue in His kingdom. There's much work, as the song we have just sung, much work in which we can be doing in His service. So let us go ahead and open up our Bibles and study and see what it has to say. And first thing that I want to look at as we go forward and talk about let us is in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 4 and verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, while the promises of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter the rest, and as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. So just at the beginning, it brings out, let us fear any of you should fail to reach. Well, failing to reach the kingdom of God, failing to reach salvation, failing to get where we're supposed to be, as He brings out in that couple of verses that there are many who did not accept Him, many who did not listen, and did not gain the faith that we should have today. In Ecclesiastes, you know, Solomon had made the point that the conclusion is to fear God and keep His commandments. We are to have a fear of God's wrath, a fear of the punishment that might come upon us if we do not give ourselves over to God. It's something that we surely must have. It's something I believe we often overlook when we talk about God, because we want to talk about His love, we talk about His mercy, we talk about His kindness and the goodness of our Lord and Savior. But being a just God, one of the things we also find that He is, means that we also have something to fear, because a just God will punish those who do not turn to Him. A just God isn't going to just allow everybody into His kingdom, His head. So there's something to fear, and as you open up the Bible and you study the Word of God, you can find many verses that go forward to show God's punishment in the Old Testament as He punished many, as He had struck down many. We read about hell and the eternal life of torment throughout the New Testament and see that there is something in which we should fear. We should fear His wrath. Again, yes, as we come to receive the truth of our God, we obey and we start to be faithful and we grow stronger and stronger, the more that fear is cast out, as we study from 1 John. But there always should be a point of fear when we fall short. Fear of facing His wrath. To help us be zealous and to repent of those sins. So let us fear. Let us fear lest we miss that opportunity. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, as we fear missing out, we fear the wrath of God, should help us cast off the works of darkness. Romans chapter 13 and looking at verse 12, it says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We truly fear the wrath of God. We truly fear not being part of His kingdom, not receiving that inheritance that He has promised to those who are joint heirs with Christ. To not receive that crown of life, then we need to study the Word of God to know what sin is. To know what it is that is considered consider lawlessness, unrighteousness, and to cast those things off. To no longer walk in the works of the flesh, but walk in the works of righteousness. So therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us cast these things aside. Let us repent of our sins, ask for God's forgiveness, and turn to Him. So many want to hold on to the things of the world. As 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, go forth and make mention of the love. It's the love of the world. The lust of the eye, the love of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are things that hold on to our desires. Because, again, it's the things that we want more than anything. It's the things that just keeps on pulling the world in. But we're supposed to cast those things off. As we obey the gospel, as we become Christians, you are baptized, putting to death the old man, and you are raised up in newness of life, and therefore you should cast off. The water, the blood of Christ is supposed to be washing away the person of sin. As you resurrect a new person, born again in the likeness of Christ. So let us cast off the works of darkness. As we do that, we continue to read here in Romans 13, pick up in verse 13, it says, let us walk properly. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual morality or sensuality, nor quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for flesh to gratify its desires. Again, they go together, and the verses are there together. You're casting off the works of darkness. You're putting on the armor of God, and so therefore let us walk properly. Let us walk as one is a soldier of Christ, one who is worthy to be in the kingdom of the Lord. But again, that means you have to cast off those works of darkness. That you no longer walk in drunkenness and sexual morality. That you're no longer boring and jealous of the world, because we have hope of an eternal life of joy in heaven. When you take that time and think about it, that you have hope, you have faith, you believe that you are going to receive the kingdom of heaven, that you are going to be with God forever, that there will be no pain, no worries, then what is there to be jealous about in this world? What is there to be jealous about? Some people might be doing pretty good by world standards. But knowing that you have a home in heaven, there's nothing greater than that. So there is nothing in which we should be jealous about. So we have to continue to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. Walk properly as He has guided us and set the example for us. Continuing in that we hold fast that confession we have made to continue faithfully in His service. Going back to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, and looking at verse 14, it says, since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Reading verse 15 along with us, says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so as we look here, it tells us to hold fast this confession. As we've come this far, we have to continue to be faithful in what we have confessed in this part of our salvation. We put it in the plan of salvation, we put it part of it, we have verses that show us that we have to confess. Romans 10 goes forward, tells us one is to confess with the mouth to salvation and be saved. Jesus also made the point, he who does not confess me, right? He who denies me shall be denied to the Father. But those who confess me shall be confessed to the Father. And I believe as you look at that verse again, it's not to the point of just getting out here and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When Jesus is making that statement, again, when you say that, you call upon the name of the Lord, that you are taking His name, you are wearing His name, and that you are going to continuously do so. And so, as we have the opportunity, as we're out in the world, and someone were to ask you, what do you believe? And if we deny
our Lord and Savior, he's going to die. And so that's what here in Hebrews saying is hold fast to that confession. We started here making that confession. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we acted upon that faith, and you were baptized, and you washed your sins away. But now you must remain faithful until death, as we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. But we have to hold fast. We have to endure. We have to remain faithful to our Lord and Savior. Going and adding verse 16 to this, as we're right here in Hebrews 4, verse 16, says, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Again, with confidence that we approach God. Confident that He is going to keep His word and wash your sins away. Confident that when we fall short once again, that when we go to Him in prayer and we repent of our sins, again, He will forgive us. With confidence that we have in His, that He is going to listen to us, that He is going to answer our prayers. This is what we read in James 1. That we are to, you know, we like wisdom, go to God in prayer and ask His word. But what? Believing that He is able to answer. Believing that He is there. Confidently approaching our God. Again, these are continuously points on things that we should be doing. As we are ready to God. Let us do this. You know, with confidence approach, draw near to the throne. Again, why? Because it's time to be. So that He'll be there and He'll have the strength in the time of need. As we continue faithfully in our service, we have to keep in mind our brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good to all, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially to our own congregation. Doing good unto all. That's part of walking faithfully, holding that confession. Because again, we're following in the footsteps of Christ who came down from heaven and sacrificed everything for you and me. We're trying to be like our Father up above, who made the ultimate sacrifice by sending His Son down to die for us. Look at mankind, and again, we know He has the power to destroy the world. He's flooded it once, He's destroyed cities with fire and brimstone, and He has promised to destroy the entire world again, and yet, He didn't just do it when we first sinned, or when we sinned the second time, or over all these years. Rather, He made the opportunity for you and me to have, to study the Word of God, to find the truth. He sent His Son down to die for us. He is patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Giving everybody that opportunity to come to Him, obey and be faithful. Again, continuing on the mindset of being there for each other in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says here, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Again, considering each other. Let us do good to all. Let us consider how to stir up love and good works among one another. Go further into it. Here talks about forsaking the assembly. But I mean, you just read the first verse. That's enough to say, well, let us consider each other. When you decide whether or not you're going to come to worship, whether or not you're going to come to Sunday morning Bible class, or Wednesday night Bible class, or just a separate Bible class, or just a get together, when we consider whether or not we're going to make a phone call, or send out a letter, or check up by text or email. We consider each other and thinking of how it is we're going to dress. And we think about how we're going to approach and talk to each other. When we think about
about the example that we set to one another.
Is there a mindset that we have?
And it's not just, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what I desire to do. But as I get up in the morning, I'm about to start my day, let us consider how I approach the day, because it's going to affect those who are around.
It's going to affect my children, my wife. It's going to affect my neighbors. Those who work with me, those who go to school with me. How am I going to push them to see the truth, to see God, to be stirred up, to be zealous for good works, to show love? Certainly, as we come together in our worship to our Lord and Savior.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 15, it says, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let us all have the same mindset. Let us all have the same mindset as it starts off in that verse. Let us, who are mature, think this way. How many times do we study through the Word of God to seek for that unity? The beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 10, Paul starts off there. Let us have, he goes forward to the encouragement, let us have the same mind. Let us all think the same way. Because again, they were divided, they were caught up in so much division. They were caught up in worrying about who baptized them. They were caught up and split with what, who could eat what. They were split up with what was okay, sexual morality. They were just divided over so many things in that congregation. Yeah, Eric. Let us think the same way. There is only one God, one Savior, one Spirit. So therefore, there's only one hope, one faith.
Jesus prayed for our unity in the book of John. He prayed that we can be one just as he and the Father are one. So as we study the Word of God, let us try to have the same mindset. Let us study the Word of God so that we can be in unity. And again, why is it so important? Why are we encouraged for all being here during Bible study so that we can talk and ask those questions so that we can all understand it together? Sometimes we do so and we get caught up in not knowing, oh, I just really don't understand this. It's a perfect time to ask.
And sometimes it's that you saw it from a different point of view and you might have a more understanding of it because you did the research and you're able to answer that question.
So we have to be willing to be there. Let us seek to be in fellowship and unity with one another. And going on to verse 16. Here, Philippians 3, verse 16. It says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's continue to be faithful. Let us hold true to the salvation that you have gained, to the grace that has been given to you. Let's hold true to these things that our Lord and Savior has blessed us with. Because if we don't, again, we can fall short. We can fall from the grace of God. No one wants to do that. No one wants to miss out on heaven. No one wants to face the wrath of God. That's why we go back to the beginning of let us speak.
There are many other verses, I'm sure, that we could look up and find that go along with it. But this is what I put together for this evening.
I'm also looking at the Word of God and how often it's commanding us to be at work.
Because these are not all, do not, thou shalt not. I believe only one part will really be a thou shalt not, right? Cast off the works of darkness, don't be caught up in sin.
But we also know that it's sin if we do not do the kingdom of God, because we have verses that tell us to work.
James chapter 2, we go through and study that chapter 14 through. And you look at the chapter and you see that, you know, faith without works is dead. When you go forward and see that Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord.
So we must be faithful in His service, continuing to do as He has commanded us to go to work.
So if you're here this evening, you get to obey the gospel, we need to extend the invitation to you to obey. If you believe, then we encourage you to come forward. you're here and you need prayers and congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we'd love you to know.